Good morning, everybody. This is Larry Jacobs, pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on Veterans Day. Very important day. Okay, the 11th day of the 11th month, 2021. It's a pleasure to have you here today. Got a nice show. We're going to be speaking, going down to Little Rock, Arkansas, where CASE, the Council of Administrators of Special Education, are having their conference. It begins today, and as our guest today, we have Kendall Mason, who's their president-elect, and who also serves as Director of Special Services in Twin Falls, Idaho, School District. All right, so it's going to be really nice to be talking to Kendall, which we'll be doing in just a minute, find out what's going on down there, et cetera, even though it is early in the day down there, only 8 in the morning on the 11th. A big thank you to all our veterans, okay? And I always think the Veterans Day should be a much bigger holiday than it is, all right? It's just a really, really, really important day, okay, that we remember all those folks who sacrificed so much for all of us. I won't get into that spiel too much. You won't know the story, but I just think it's really, really important. We're the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Everything we do is at ace-ed.org, and you can see our magazine, Equity and Access, over there. By the way, all of our podcasts are over on iTunes and Apple. If you want to check all that out, you can follow us over there under Education Talk Radio. All right, just bring that up so you can know that everything we do is over there. And also, if you go to ace-ed.org, you'll see a link to our new website about social emotional learning, which is called SEL Today, seltoday.org. You can link between the two sites or go to them individually, and I hope you do that. I hope you enjoy our magazine at ace-ed.org. Actually, it's at both sites, and it's called Equity and Access. All right, without further ado, good morning, Kendall. Am I pronouncing your first name right?
You are, Larry. That's perfect. How are you?
There you go.
Morning.
There you go. I'm good, as a matter of fact, on a beautiful day here in Maine, a long way from Arkansas. How's the weather down there?
A little rainy this morning, but compared to Idaho, it's a warmer. Idaho's getting some freezing temperatures in the nighttime.
Ah, well, that's starting to happen here as well, okay, here in Maine. Tell us about your job. Before we get into the CASE thing, tell us about your job, your work up in Twin Falls, okay, and then what the school district is like, et cetera. How long you've been doing it, all that sort of stuff. Introduce yourself to us. It's good to have you
absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. So like you said, my name's Kendall Mason. This is my 30th year in education.
Wow.
I have only been in the special education part of it my entire career. I started as a elementary teacher in special education. Then I was at the middle school level. And then I worked for the Idaho State Department of Education for 5 years as a consultant. And then I was a director in Jerome School District in Idaho, which is just across the Snake River for where I live, for 14 years. And I have currently been with the Twin Falls School District the last 2 years. I came on right during the pandemic.
They're lucky to have you, I'm sure. And how are things in Twin Falls regarding special ed these days?
Yeah, so, you know, like all education, we always have our issues we're working through. But
of course,
the Twin Falls School District is amazing, as most school districts, you know. Nobody gets into education, right, without liking people or kids or wanting to collaborate, because those people just don't last very long. And the Twin Falls School District has an amazing team from the administration in the district office to the building principals, the teachers. Everything Twin Falls does is team-oriented, which has been really nice because Jerome was a small school district, and although we collaborated and tried to work together, you know, there just wasn't a lot of people. But Twin Falls has a great leadership team. Our superintendent was actually recently he is the superintendent of the year for Idaho for his efforts through the pandemic.
Nice.
And our school board, and I mean, they did a great job of leading us through the pandemic, which, you know, hopefully the worst is over, but it's a great school district. There's about 10,000 students in the district. We're the eighth largest rural. Idaho is a very rural state, so some people are saying like 10,000 and you're the eighth largest. And so we are about 2 miles out of, or 2 hours from Boise, Idaho, which most people know. They don't know about Twin Falls. Twin Falls is a great place to be, and the school district's pretty amazing. I actually started my career there.
Oh wow, it went full circle. My first teaching job
was the Twin Falls School District.
Yeah, that's really nice. Thank you for that overview. And I'm two things I'm curious about. What was it that prompted you to go into special ed to begin with? I'm glad you did.
This could take all day.
Well, we have some time. Go ahead. I'm curious.
So when I was a youth, I never really liked school, to be honest, Larry. I just, you know, everybody always says, you know, that one teacher you connected with. I just never had that experience like other people had. But I ended up going to college. Only reason I went to college is I did go to college on a rodeo scholarship to
You're
Idaho.
You're kidding.
No.
You were a rodeo athlete.
Yeah. I rodeoed at the College of Southern Idaho 3 years and then Boise State, and I still to this day do a little team roping. I'm a little older and fatter than my prime, but yeah.
Kendall, I got to tell you something. I didn't even know that there were college teams in rodeo. Of course, it makes perfect sense being in the Northeast. I did not know that, okay? And you are the first person I have ever spoken to in my life who is a rodeo athlete and particularly participated in it. I think I find that amazing. What an interesting
You know, it's pretty common where we live. But,
of course.
Yeah. When I was at Idaho State University, I had the fortune of meeting Dr. Carol Stenson. She was tough in the program. She ran a respite care center on Saturdays, and I was just going into elementary education. Special education wasn't on my radar. And
right.
She ran that Saturday school, and she was the department lead for the special education department. And they had a two-way mirror, and she just saw me working with the kids a few Saturdays, and she approached me and said, you know, I think you should consider special education.
Wow.
If you ever met Dr. Carol Stenson, she's a legend in Idaho, and you don't tell her no. she helped me get started and even helped me a little bit use some of my credits because you have to add more credits, right, and it costs more money. And so she helped me a little bit get that stuff started, and I was just so fortunate with her to get me hooked up with special education. And then the thing she really gave me, Larry, that, you know, for 30 years I think has been my lifeblood is she would make all the students join the Council for Exceptional Children. We would sell potatoes, right? Idaho, we'd sell potatoes.
Hey, I live in Maine. I know. Potatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the union building so that we could go to the Idaho Council for Exceptional Children Conference and go to the National Council.
What a great lady.
Oh, yeah. She actually started the student unit in Idaho. I could go on for her about ever, but, she gave me that first gift in my career that, I really believe without the Council for Exceptional Children, which we're talking about today, the Council of Administrators of Special Education, is a subset, a subdivision of that. But
right.
I really believe that's been the lifeblood to my, longevity.
It has been. And obviously you're great at it. And obviously
I don't know if I'm great at it.
You obviously are. Don't tell yourself short. Okay, I'll tell you.
I tell people this all the time. I ask myself, would Carol approve? I'm having to make some tough choices or if things maybe aren't going well, I have to stop and ask myself, would Carol approve what I'm trying to do for kids and families? And if Carol would approve, I feel like I'm on the right path.
Well, you've made her proud, my friend. Again, you're director of special services at a really nice school district, helping a lot of kids. I have to ask you something, since you're in Idaho, we follow a number of streams of news. You probably heard me say at the beginning, we have our website, which is called seltoday.org, all right? And the news streams that come in there, one of them last week was all about social-emotional learning and that the state superintendent was under a bit of fire, as a lot of conservative people I don't believe they really understand what SEL is, but they are upset about it they for whatever reasons. Okay, I'm not going to get into the politics of that, okay? But my point is SEL is, of course, very important, all right, for special education students, as it is for all students. And I'm just curious what's going on. Can you give us an Idaho look at that, if you're even aware of it, on SEL up there, over there?
Yeah, so, you know, I am aware of it, and again, I'm not real political. I'm glad.
Yeah, it is. I don't mean it to be political. Yeah.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I try to stay out of all that. You know,
sure,
Idaho
I don't
is
blame
full
you.
Of people
yeah.
who hide from all that. But I think a lot of it is the misunderstanding, and I guess I will go a little bit political, you know, the politicalization
okay.
of SEL. In our school district, we're actually not even trying to call it SEL at the moment because
call it wellness.
Yeah.
Yeah. School climate.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Wellness. Yeah. Because it seems to be a trigger that takes the focus
yeah,
off of what
it
we
is.
Provide, and that's mental wellness for kids.
That's right.
You know, it's not that we're trying to hide from SEL or hide anything from the public, but the misinformation about what SEL is.
That's right.
You know. We feel like it takes away from the mission and what we're trying to provide for kids. And so we, along with other school districts, are referring it to it, like you said, like mental health.
Exactly.
Wellness.
That's exactly the way to do it. And the parents, if I may, and this is every parent, I don't care, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, whatever the case may be, they actually want this for the kids. It just has become a touchstone and a misunderstanding. All right, we just have to work
to
work. Yeah, yeah. The, you know, people are people, all right? And they
absolutely.
React to
and,
triggers.
You know,
I use the
matter
word
which
trigger.
Side of the fence you are, I'm glad you said that, you know.
Yeah,
no,
it doesn't.
Pretty
it
much
doesn't.
Every parent I've ever met, they care about their kid.
Exactly.
And that's be the bottom line. And most of us in education, if not all of us, we care about kids as well. Like I said, if you didn't care about kids,
what
you
are you
wouldn't
doing
last
there?
Very long, so.
Yeah, what are you doing there? That's exactly right. So taking that, obviously it's going to be popping up down at the conference, and the conference is going on right now for CASE, Council of Administrators and Special Ed, down in Little Rock. Okay, again, today it starts today, all right? And you're the president-elect. When did you take office now, like this at this conference, Kendall? Or do you
oh,
take
no,
off-
sir. That will happen in July.
Okay.
Every July, we CASE and Council for Exceptional Children. We always go to what we call the Special Education Legislative Summit to advocate for needs of our
oh,
students.
Oh yeah, I'm familiar.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and that's when I will take over from Erin McGuire, who is our current president, and she has done an amazing job leading us through this. This pandemic, if you will.
Yeah.
We also went through an executive director change. I believe you've talked with Phyllis Wolfram several times. And
oh,
so a lot
Phyllis
of
is a good friend of mine. She's your executive director. We're good friends.
Yeah, she's awesome. So, yeah, I will take over from Erin in July. And, again, she's done an amazing job leading us through this change. She's I just have so much admired her and learned so much through the last couple of years serving under her as the past president.
That's
I
nice.
Mean, sorry, president-elect.
I know, just what, yeah. And you're going to do great in the job. And congratulations, by the way. Okay, that's a big
so
deal.
I will add, if you don't mind, so
sure.
Before this, I was the professional development chair for CASE. So I was, I guess you would say, led the committee that would plan the conferences such as the one we're at in Little Rock. And I did that for 5 years and was on
wow.
the board of CASE. So I'm very familiar with CASE through that work and feel very blessed to be part of it.
Well, I think they're going to be kind of blessed to have you there. You really have you really are involved and you really know what you're doing with special ed. And on that note, okay, since you were involved in planning the conference, as you look at it this year, okay, people are down there now, there's going to be presentations, all that sort of stuff, okay, what are the big themes that are going to come out of it? I know the theme of it is focusing on a future of success. I believe that's the theme of it, and that's great, okay? And by the way, you guys have always been successful, okay? It's not just in the future, past success as well, okay? What's the big themes down there this year at the conference? Kendall.
Yeah, so again, I'm going to shy away from the social-emotional learning, but the mental well-being of students, but also staff, right? How do we support not only our teachers, but ourselves, right, as directors and school administrators and taking time for ourselves, celebrating our successes? And then how do we get these skills to our membership? And so the hard part about the conference with CASE is, and it's also the beautiful part, is directors come from all over the country and Canada. So we are also affiliated with Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people, so I expressed earlier, I was in Jerome, Idaho, which was a small district of about 3,000 students, and we have directors coming from smaller districts, and then we have directors that come from these huge systems, right, like L.A. or Georgia.
Of course.
And so we really have to have a wide range of sessions for all those different people because their role's different. When you're in a small district, you might be less of in a management-type position, more boots-on-the-ground type. And
right.
Then you get to the larger districts, you know, it's more of a management systems level work. And so we have over 40 breakout sessions based on the committee rates these proposals. So people submit these proposals. The Professional Development Committee, which is led by Heath Pine right now, they rate those and then try to balance that so that those sessions will reach all levels of directors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really the tough parts when you try to get down here on
make
what
a balance.
Exactly
yeah.
topics is, huh? Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we have a wide range of topics trying to meet the diverse needs of all our directors that are attendance. But obviously a lot on mental health, well-being for students and staff.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have, I'm excited, we have the 2021 National Teach of the Year as one of the keynotes from the CCSSO group.
I was just going to say,
It's always exciting to hear from people that are passionate about education. So I'm really looking to that session as well.
May I ask, is the Teacher of the Year a special ed teacher?
She is a elementary teacher.
That's what I thought. And I'm curious. Answer me this. And you're in the perfect position to do that. What do you want? This is key, a typical teacher, not a special ed teacher, to know about the work you folks do in special ed. Okay, that I can't remember her name, but the CCSSO Teacher of the Year is going to come and speak to you. All right, but she's speaking
name is
to
Juliana. I'm not going to get her last name.
Yeah, that's
correct.
All right. I can't think of it either. Okay,
but
she's going to come and speak to you.
Her first name is Juliana.
Okay, so Juliana's going to come and speak to you, okay, which I think is wonderful. She's going to give a wonderful speech. They're always good. They usually come on my show. And when you ask her back, what does a typical teacher need to know about special ed that a special ed administrator can put forth?
Oh, man. Do I owe you some money for that little segue or something?
Go do it. It's free. Go do it.
That's exactly what she's going to talk about, you know, and that's why I'm really excited to hear from her down here is because she has done a lot of co-teaching in the elementary setting with special educators, right, joining together, keeping kids in the regular classroom as much as possible with their peers and co-teaching together and utilizing their strengths as as a general education teacher and a special educator. Education teacher to bring the best to all kids, right? And that's why I'm so excited. So I guess I would say, you know, exactly what she's going to talk about is I probably don't need to tell her anything. That's why she's going to be telling me. But I would tell general ed teachers, you know, as a whole, as a director, and, you know, in our district, we're really focused on the least restrictive environment, trying to keep kids in classroom as much as possible.
Great.
Providing
Great.
Those supports, it's just keep that open mind. Have a growth mindset, right? We hear so much about our kids. They can't do this because, you know, they can't be here. You know, we all fall into that trap. It's not because we're working with bad teachers or mean teachers. It's just, you know, it's like, how do we do this? We're overwhelmed. We're working hard. And, you know, we get caught in that. And to me, it's like, let's keep that growth mindset. How can we make that classroom successful for the students? You know, there's an old saying, right, about, you know, about if the flower's not growing, you don't change the flower, right? You change the soil condition.
Great, great.
And that's what I would encourage general ed teachers or want them to know is, you know, let's keep that growth mindset. Let's do everything we can do to change the environment to make it successful for the student versus trying to change the student to the environment. And I would make a little plug here for, you know, people always go, well, how do we do that? I have 30 kids in my classroom. You know, I have several students that are English second language learners.
Right,
I have
students,
with disabilities. I have some students that are extremely gifted. And, you know, you know, that's what I would say. You know, I would want teachers to really learn and understand universal design in the classroom. And that concept,
nice.
You know, in a nutshell, is basically what I do for all kids or for one kid or is good for all kids. So a quick example would be, you know what a curb cut is?
Sure, absolutely. That's a good example.
You know, we all use that, right? Kids
That's
ride their
right.
bikes up and down that. You know, when I was a kid, I know we're on radio, so I can't see it, but I was old enough, you had to jump your skateboard off the curb, right? It was
That's
a
right.
growing experience. Now you just go right through the curb cut. Well, you know, that was really designed for people with disabilities, right, to be able
That's
to get
right.
off the curb and through the crosswalk adequately. But it benefits us all. You know, we take our shopping carts through it, and in the classroom it would be, you know, that same concept. Things like if one student needs something read to them, wouldn't it be great if all students had something read to them?
Yeah.
Because most of us do a lot better hearing a story than reading, and I would encourage them to explore more universal design activities.
I agree. I love another good example of that is closed captioning on TV. Okay,
absolutely.
I can't myself include. I put it on, even though most of the time I don't even need it. But I just put it on so I could make sure everything is clear. That, of course, started for people who have hearing challenges. Okay, so it's really just interesting the way it all works out. And it's a great way to segue into the mainstream classroom, saying what we do affects everybody, you know, and it's so important. You know, I want to ask you something, and I assume this is going to be coming up. One of the things that concerns me about education in general, but particularly special ed, okay, is a teacher recruitment, if I may. I think retention is all right, but recruitment of new cohorts, okay, into special ed, it's hard to find these educators. What are you finding? And maybe you can answer just for Idaho, and then you can now, Mr. President-elect, okay, take it out nationally. What do we do about that? What's the situation there, Kendall, from your point of view?
Oh, my gosh. Well, so I've been, a special educator for 30 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, the running joke has always been, well, I'll never need a job, right? That there's a job all the time for you. Special education, it's been hard, right, to find special education staff for years. But I'm worried, to be honest, Larry.
Me too.
It's not just a shortage, in my opinion. It's a national crisis. We struggle. I know in Idaho and other places around the country, we struggle getting general ed teachers at the moment.
Yeah.
Let alone special education staff. We, in the Twin Falls School District, for speech services, we do online. We contract with a national company. We contract with local companies. We have a few on staff, you know, just to meet the speech and language needs within the
right.
district. And I really believe the pandemic, we're seeing, at least I know in Idaho, teachers are leaving now. Right in the middle of the school year, they're very stressed. People are short with each other. You know, I just think this whole pandemic's put everybody on edge, and
I really believe
we're at a critical point, and we're beyond strategies that local school districts can do. You know, in our district, and like many, we got an influx of money, right, for the whole COVID relief,
right.
And, you know, our biggest need is staff. And just like any other business, I don't know about where you live, but I know where we live. We have restaurants closing because they can't.
Oh, of course,
staff.
Of course.
Yeah, we have small businesses closing. We have builders who can't get laborers, so they're actually having their lumber pre-cut somewhere. And so it's not just education, but obviously, you know, without teachers in the classroom, it's just how are we going to meet our kids' needs, especially in these trying times. And I really believe this has to be taken on at the national and the state levels. And I really feel like it's been placed a lot on the backs of local school districts, right, in the past to,
agreed,
you know, how to recruit and retain teachers. And I just think now we're at a tipping point where that's not going to work anymore. One district offering a signing bonus isn't going to work because the one across the river is too.
Exactly.
And we're fighting.
It's going to them, you know, all your good friends that you're going to see down on the floor of the conference over the next few days. Okay? They are, and I know they are your good friends and they are your colleagues. They are also your competition. Okay, it's amazing. You know, you have to outbid each other. It's like buying a house. Okay, you have to outbid each other to get the right person in the little districts. Okay, where you came from, one. Okay, where the hell are they going to get the money to do this? What are they going to do? Okay,
yeah,
and
it's
a challenge.
So I have several friends in the teletherapy business, and you know, a few years ago when you needed help with therapists, whether it was a school psychologist or mental health or speech therapist, you know, they could help fill a void, right? Because you had a few, opening or two. Well, now what's happening is a lot of speech therapists and other therapists are like, hey, you mean I can work from home and do it online?
Yeah.
Well, and make the same amount of money or more. What we're seeing is our live bodies are actually going to teletherapy, and so now, although they help provide a need, it's a catch-22 because they're also making the situation worse because people are leaving to actually go do teletherapy, and it's a catch-22 for us.
It is, it is, and because those, and by the way, I do. Believe me, appreciate those teletherapy companies. I know a lot of them are going to be at your conference. Okay, but, you know, because they're a private company, they can offer more money, all right? And that creates a competitive situation. It's really a difficult time right now, and I know that's going to be a question down on the floor or of the conference today. And, again, many of those booths that are going to be at your conference are good friends of ours here. We work with them, okay, like Presence Learning and E-Therapy and those companies. I mean, they're just absolutely just good people. And it's the changing face of the world of education. What can I say? You know, so
well,
what's
and
the
we
favorite?
Couldn't do, we couldn't provide services to students without those partners. You know, I guess I feel like maybe I came across a little negative with them.
No. What you came across was honest, then not negative at all.
Wonderful.
I mean, it's a changing world. Okay,
yeah.
That's what's happening, and we're just settling into that post-pandemic, which, as you mentioned before, I hope it is literally post-pandemic. Enough of that stuff and all that sort of thing. What are you looking forward to? You, Kendall, you're going to go, Dan, you're going to go to sessions today. What's the one you're looking forward to?
Well, I already talked about the Teacher of the Year, correct?
Okay.
Did you speak? Yeah,
that's motivating.
And I guess I'm going to take a little liberty to stray off topic. So at our board meeting yesterday, we handed out awards before I answer your other question. And I have to tell you, the reason why I'm so excited to listen to Juliana is we gave out our Early Career Special Education Administrator Award to Penny Gregory.
Yeah.
Her story was so moving. Literally, after being in education 30 years, sometimes you get jaded, a little beat down, I feel like. You get in that rut, and, you know, things like Juliana speaking and, you know, Penny's story of the amazing work she's doing.
Where is she from, Penny?
Where is? No. Hold on. I knew you were going to put me on
Oscar.
She's from Indiana. Indiana.
There
Casey.
You go. Good old.
So
who's your state?
I'm so
yeah,
mad.
Good.
My friend Angie Balsley is going to say, "What do you mean?" But she's from Indiana, and she is from the Wayne Township.
That's I've had that district on this show many times. Okay, that's
well,
a very fine school district.
To have Penny, she, I mean, there were tears in the room. So anyway, that's going to be one of my, my all-time favorite sessions is Juliana. And, you know, I'm going to put a little, hopefully nobody from my district's listening, but, you know, a lot of times these conferences are not about the learning material. It's about hearing those wonderful stories to rejuvenate, revigorate you.
That's right.
Your
colleague, right?
You leave these conferences just, I mean, it is so amazing to be around 500 people dedicated to this work. And I hate to admit it, sometimes the sessions aren't the most important part for me. It's the stories that I'm going to hear with Juliana, right. Hearing Penny's story, my hair is standing. I wish we were on TV. You'd see the hair on my arms is standing up, talking about those amazing stories.
And you know, your point is well taken. I got to say this: your point is well taken. One of the key things about the conferences coming back again, the Case conference is obviously live in Little Rock, all right. And one is the networking. Okay, to see people
totally. Back to
be
Case
able to
and the networking.
Touch people, that sort of thing. I mean, it's just really. You know, it does revive you, okay? It really makes you excited again.
And it's critical in our work. I mean, when the pandemic came, the first, a year and a half ago when that spring came, right, nobody knew anything. But I could reach out to I don't know how many colleagues over my years' involvement with CASE and emailing and calling and sharing materials to help make sure we were doing the right things for kids, families, and teachers, you know, as best we could, because nobody knew the answers. And I know without a shadow of a doubt the two districts I've worked in, they were better off because of that connection with my CASE colleagues, not because of
course.
Me, but I knew who to reach out
to. I don't know about that part, but I bet because of you and your connection and what you bring from that connection.
So there is another, besides Juliana, there's – you know, special education is one of the most litigated issues in schools today, right?
Yeah.
Well, the Heath and the Professional Development Committee, they put together a keynote panel. I don't know if you probably know Julie Weatherly.
Oh, of course, from Alabama, of course.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah,
right?
She's great. She's a champion special education attorney. For those who don't know.
Yeah,
her.
I
she's
always
really
tell her
something.
She put the awe in law. She is amazing.
Good.
But her and Dr. Timothy Havad from the consultant here in Alabama, he's a lawyer from here, or I guess an educational consultant, sorry. Terry Engler is a lawyer from Illinois, and Dr. Kevin Rubenstein, who is our policy chair.
I know Kevin, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's brilliant, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a great man.
They have a panel session on the legal issues waiting for you on Monday morning, right? What a downer.
Yeah.
But they, you know, I think it's so critical that we know and understand those legal issues, you know, to make sure that we're providing services and doing it correctly. And I'm really looking forward to that as well. And I don't know if you've heard Dr. Adolph Brown.
I don't know that person.
I have not had the pleasure of hearing from him, but his passion, I hear, is infectious, and I'm excited. Again, you know, I hate to admit it, I'm here to get rejuvenated, and I Dr. Brown is just going to be incredible. I've heard some really great things about him. And then you asked about... you asked about, you know, what I would want a general education teacher to know.
Yeah.
Dr. Richard Villa is also speaking, and he's going to be talking about learners in the general education classroom and the demands in there. And so that, I think that ties right in back to what you were asking me. And, I mean, honestly, the breakout sessions, there's so many, over 40, right, to really look at. But I know there's one session I'm definitely going to, right by Twin Falls, Idaho. There's a little town called Filer. I live there. And a local director, who is a good friend of mine, and her team is going to be doing a breakout session on meeting the behavioral needs of kids and the system they've put in place. So obviously,
what's the name of that district? Say that district.
It's Filer, Filer School District.
Filer.
And Dr. Wendy French is the director.
Okay.
And so her team's coming up, and of course I got to support, right? Way to go, Idaho! So I definitely am looking forward to it. Going to Dr. French's session and you know, supporting them and their work, and they have a great system they put into place. We actually have been trying to model it in Twin Falls, but I think they're the premier ones in leading that in our area.
Yeah, every district is that little bit of difference, but you all help each other. It's amazing. Kendall, we got to go. I'll tell you, this was a pleasure to meet you. I hope someday we meet in person. Okay,
well, hopefully I didn't make your radio show get low reviews this morning, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
Spread the word. I'm gonna make sure I send you a link to the show. And by the way, you guys do a lot of work within our magazine, which is called Equity and Access. It's our online journal, okay? And Phyllis puts a note into every weekly update. So if you haven't checked out every case weekly update, if you haven't checked out the magazine, go over to ace-ed.org and also see what we're doing at SEL today. You'll enjoy it. We love having people like you, and help us out. Spread the word.
All right. Well, hey, I appreciate the opportunity. Maybe one day I'll get to see you face-to-face.
I look just like, till we meet, I look just like Brad Pitt.
Okay.
Okay, just pop that picture into your head and won't have any trouble at all.
Yeah, I will.
And you tell my dear friend Phyllis Wolfram, your executive director, I said hi, and you two both have a great time at the conference.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thanks for the opportunity. It was awesome.
My pleasure. You're always welcome here, my friend. Thank you, Kendall.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Kendall Mason, everybody. He's president-elect of CASE, one of my favorite groups, the Council of Administrators of Special Education, part of CEC. Their conference is going on right now. It's November 11th, the starting day. 2021, they're down in Little Rock, Arkansas. So I hope everybody has a great time and everybody stays safe and all that sort of stuff. Again, it's the 11th of November. Please remember the vets. Okay, please, please, please. All right, my name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Everything we do is at ace-ed.org. That's where we're going to archive this podcast, and also over at seltoday.org. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening.